Well, if he leaves at 7, maybe we can all leave at 7.
We gotta go fast then. I'd like to welcome everyone out tonight to this special work session.
Bolt's not gonna be here.
He's gonna be here, I thought.
I thought he said he would.
Maybe he's got 6:30 in mind, so.
Maybe or 7. I'll be passing him as he's coming in.
Roll call.
Justin. Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Cole is not here yet. Rondi.
Here.
And Sam.
Here.
Okay. Hey, so thanks for coming tonight. Just after last work session before city council, me and Dave was talking. It's like, I don't feel like we really got time to cover the things. And so kind of what I talked about maybe doing tonight, and I don't know, thoughts is give each department like 10, 15 minutes to kind of, up to 10, 15 minutes to kind of explain their wish list, what they'd like to do. If they don't take that long, great. I knew, you know, Coulter said he couldn't be here till 7 or just after, so I told him we'd be last, or he'd be last, so.
Well, we're talking about the list we had at city council.
Yes.
And I didn't bring mine. You got an extra one.
We can go make copies. Yes. I'll go make some copies real quick. Do you need a copy?
No, I don't need a copy.
Justin, did you have yours?
I'm trying to find it. I don't remember getting an email, but maybe I did.
I think we did that other one on the general fund. He's that one.
I just know that one page had everybody's.
Well, you had all that agenda for the last time?
Yeah, city council meeting.
Which other one did you say, Mike? I just had to make that other one that you gave me on the general fund, the water fund, showing the last 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Kind of what we presented to him last year, or last week.
Yeah. I was looking at it. I had a special on the wall.
So we kind of started a week ago on the 1.8% inflation rate, kind of what we was looking at across the board.
For the COLA?
Yeah.
Not radiation's cost of living allowance? Or?
Yep. And we got a little bit into the fifth officer.
I guess I don't see that.
It's on the general wage fund, is with the law, right?
Yeah, general wage or general fund wage.
General wage, sorry.
Yeah.
What is Rick's site supervisor?
Brittany wanted somebody else too, didn't you?
So Steph was not
kind
of a responsible person to supervise some of the gym kinds of stuff, both the nature that she can't always be at two sites at once, and then also to kind of alleviate some of her load.
Oh, that was just, that was Stephanie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said Brittany, it was Stephanie.
And that's part-time?
Part-time,
yes.
Yep. Did she have somebody in mind?
Not that I heard.
It's got to be an advertised position.
Yes.
Yeah, it would have to be, yep. Yeah.
It would, but that's one that I would hope it would be familiar with the recreation programs that they run.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got an extra. I could find it on my phone.
You got a paper one, don't you, Rondi?
I do. I'm doing them all over it, too. So.
I'm on a paper copy.
Either way, it might be easier to look at it that way. So that was kind of the... We don't have any copies to make what to do.
Does this one show how much short he was?
Or is this one? Anything on short or anything?
We didn't have nothing on the shortage.
I thought it was like 150.
You passed one to Justin, and so now you need to get one of those back from Justin. You passed one first.
Oh, pass the, which one we want, the number one? Which one? I gotta get one back.
Which one?
Yeah, which one?
So that one goes with this one. So he'll need that one with this half page. Okay. So I don't know how you guys want to kind of do it, if you'd sooner just hear from each department, kind of see what they'd like to do, or...
Didn't the page we looked at the other night have the shortfall, or is that what this end one, this last page?
This is the one I was looking at, and Dave was just telling us that...
I think Dave just expressed...
Just kind of expressed to us that he was about $50,000 short, if we met the fifth officer, if we met other deals, we was $50,000 short.
I thought we was like 150, but...
I got with...
$114.
I did get with Jim, and he feels like if we added that fifth officer, we could add about another $30,000 in court citations.
Revenue?
So we're all set that.
Okay, yeah, and it was down last year because of COVID, and we couldn't really, so it, you know, it'd be up quite a bit from last year, plus adding another person, so.
Tyler, maybe, what would fall next?
Talk culture on the tire balancer. I don't know why I talked to him about before about using, why don't we use blanks, we just using the, they got a better stuff out now, it's the balancing beads, you don't even need a balancer. You just throw it in when you air it, put your tires on, and you're done. Saves you time, saves everything. We use them in your school district, over there for the buses, for the roller cars, everything. So they're cheaper, they're easier. He's not here, I can ask him about it.
He'll be here later. His daughter had a performance at 6:00, so he said he'd be here later.
I mean, that's a possible, so, I mean, $7,000 for what we paid for the stuff I'm talking about, you can probably balance everything the city owns 3-4 times. So, with everything new. The nice thing with them is they've got the wheel weights, everything's internal inside the tire. I'm running in my truck right now. I don't have a single issue with them, so.
But I guess to that point, and I know Cole's not here to explain anything, but to that point, in my mind, I'm struggling with, we're talking about hiring another full-time person for the cemetery. Are we utilizing what we have to the best we can, managing people? I mean, is it better to do some of that stuff at our local gas stations and have the person that'll be doing that out doing something else in the city, I guess, is some of my thoughts.
Well, I think we've needed... The cemetery and the parks are a real problem, in my opinion. Now, I think it was kind of suggested at our last meeting that we entertain going back to subbing out the grounds. But in my mind, I think we've purchased all that equipment. I don't know if it's wore out.
No.
I'll tell you, when you were subbing out the grounds, you were paying about $4,000 a month for that.
Well, I think we're probably paying out quite a bit in wages and equipment too per month, if you factor that part of it in. I would like to see just somebody designated, whether it's an existing employee. Or getting another one. I think we retained one seasonal employee last year, right?
We did.
So we...
And Bodie left.
Not yet, he's on his way out.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Understood he was contracted.
I know on the cemetery, ain't we still contracting a lot of stuff with like monks and that too? Are they still doing a lot of work out there too?
Yeah. We had two bids for the fertilizing and for spraying weeds. So that's not part of something they'd be
No.
doing. Just mowing and trimming trees.
And I guess that's my point, is why can't we just find somebody internally that's already on Public Works that can be the groundskeeper?
Let's wait and maybe address this when Colby gets here, if we could. I guess the biggest thing to start off with is like, do we have any more questions on the fifth officer? We need to ask Jim.
Yeah, we were talking about that, we got distracted.
Yeah, sorry.
So on your fifth officer, Jim, is he, I know originally you talked about the counter being like a stuff your last guy, is it on your back kind of case or no?
Yeah, I think I got it in my briefcase last week.
Because that's kind of what we're looking at.
Here's, I'll tell you what I'm doing, okay? So when I was hired here in '95, we had five officers, part-time dog catcher, part-time zoning person, full-time secretary. Now we're down to four officers and a part-time secretary. So when you look at all the stuff that we're kind of, you do, and that might give you a better idea of why things are maybe lacking sometimes, why things aren't getting followed up on, is because there's a lot that we're kind of over. And some of that, as far as zoning, that's a never-ending nightmare that just kind of goes on and on and on, and never seems to get resolved. The way that things are nowadays, our cases require a lot more follow-up, a lot more investigating, like you said, you know, last week, as far as electronic devices and stuff like that. There's a lot that we have to, that encompasses an investigation now, that we have to add or at least try to go through or do when we submit our cases. So it takes a lot more time. The investigator type position would be a fill-in for people that are off on vacation, off on sick time. Like I said, right now, I have a person that's working, helping cover shifts right now, but he's getting hired with Utah County. Once he's gone, we won't have anyone again. So whenever anyone wants to go on vacation or they're sick, I'm the person that covers all that. So it makes it really difficult to, I mean, we can have someone off, one person can only be on vacation at a time, and that conflicts quite a bit. And, you know, when someone's sick or when someone's got, like last year with COVID and with when officers had cancer and different things like that, it really puts us in a bind personnel-wise to cover, because there's no one else that really wants to work part-time. So with that protective position, I see it being a person that would help with investigations, help with covering vacation, sick time, stuff like that, help with special events, with certain, you know, if there's something that's needs to be addressed, they can just, you know, that's something that they can concentrate and put more time in, you know, and take care of that kind of stuff, kind of what I'm doing now. And that freed me up a little bit more to do administrative stuff, which has kind of been lacking quite a bit, and then also help with those other things as well. So that's the reason that I want to do that. When we had five officers, we got 24-hour coverage, but it mostly was a nightmare for us because we turned into the North End Police Department. We always had somebody out, and so you're like, hey, we got this call affair, we got this call number, and we go there, and we did more other places than we, you know, we did a lot here, but Mount Pleasant's changed a lot since back then. And back then, you had people out all night long, dragging Maine, goofing off, doing stuff, and I think through enforcement and other things, that doesn't really happen anymore. Once you hit 10 o'clock or so, most people are home and they're not out doing, I guess, dumb things. They address a lot. We get called out, you know, when there's something happening, but I know Ephraim tried having an officer out 24 hours a day, and there just wasn't a need for it. So they pulled back and put more coverage in certain hours that were busier hours, I guess. So, and that kind of validates my thoughts on having someone out all the time. It's something that we really don't need. We have people on call, and then if there's busy times, we can kind of focus on that a little bit better. But that's my thoughts on that position and what it would be and how it would work. And that's just from kind of drawing from past experience and looking kind of the future, what we're going to be doing, kind of planning for here, the city as it grows, kind of meeting the needs more of the people and kind of getting the extra coverage. Like I said, if you know, as an example, yesterday, like I told the mayor, we was going to go deal his only thing, but the officer that I was going to he's our new officer, so he hasn't really done all his own yet, so I was going to train him and help him with this, but he had an interview at the CJC with a sexual assault case, and then he had to go follow up on that, so that takes him away doing that all day, and so I'm covering calls and doing that stuff. And so today, he had a couple other interviews to do with that case. Then we went up and did the zoning issue. And then, you know, then he had other cases after that. So, I mean, they stay pretty busy with calls, and there's not a lot of time to do proactive patrol or police work, I guess, is that's what you said. Like, sitting running radar on traffic things. So like if we had an assigned investigator that could do that, that would free up the patrol to kind of be more proactive and do other things that would help the community a little bit better. So that's my thoughts on the position. I'd be happy to answer your questions if you have any or any concerns about it.
What qualifies an officer to become a detective? More experience? Or?
More experience and training. I think Officer Taylor would kind of fall into that role that we have. You know, that he's got the experience. You know, he's been with us, I think, 12, 13 years now. He's been through a couple of the homicides, and the last one played a pretty good role in that, you know, doing interviews and stuff like that. And it just it's a person that has experience with that kind of stuff. Interviewing is one of the
training too, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's recently gone to some trainings for the detective.
One of the first things I make him do is go to the Crime Scene Academy, go to interview and interrogation classes, because that's basically what we do, is talk to people, try and get them to, I guess, admit to crime and stuff like that. And that's a big part of what we do every day. So those are the things that I have everyone go to. But like I said, over time, it takes a lot of time and a lot of, like any other professional, to get good at stuff and kind of be able to read people and be able to make things come to a good conclusion or good end.
So that said, you foresee somebody within the department already taking that position possibly and then replacing them?
Yeah. So I've already talked to, Officer Valentine. He doesn't even want to be involved with that. He doesn't want to be the investigator. Officer Taylor does. And I think where he's already a sergeant and we put him into that role, it'd be kind of a combined position, so it wouldn't be that much of an expense for, so if we had a sergeant and we could put in an investigator, that would be a bigger expense for the department, you know, because they're, one's a leadership role, one's a more skilled position, so those combined would be kind of the money saving as well, and then we could hire a different patrol officer that would be coming in at a lower rate.
And that's what this reflects, is that scenario?
Yeah. I think so, right?
Yep.
We do have a question needed. We ain't got any smaller since 95.
No. And I don't see a strength in.
No, I mean, reality.
We don't do anything that's, it's not like, I can come here and tell you, we filled all these potholes, we did this, we did that. And there's nothing that I can show you that we've done. I think if you, maybe some of you can remember, probably members, he lives on State Street. I mean, you have some complaints with speeders, but I think all in all, since, looking back when I first started and with the patrolling and stuff and enforcing laws, I think Mount Pleasant has changed a lot. I mean, I used to, when we go to trainings, table talk, exercise and stuff, it was always, all right, Jim, the homicide's going to happen in Mount Pleasant. You're going to be it's a command. You're going to have to run things. You're going to have to do this. That's kind of how I was always thrown into, that was kind of the perception of everything bad happens here. And that's changed quite a bit. A lot of people just have left because of, we used to be just super busy with some certain people all the time, and they just kind of left. And
the repeat offenders.
Yeah. I see Ephraim's really busy now. Manti's really busy now. And we're not as busy as...
Maybe they've all migrated south.
And it could be other reasons, but I think, I think it's kind of a problem.
I guess that's one question I have. Is there anything you can do as far as, public awareness or education that helps offset the criminal activity that takes place in the community? I know there's going to be a level of that takes place, just regardless of just the nature of things, but, what is there that can be done to prevent crime to begin with?
There's a lot that could be done. We've started probably four or five different crime watch groups, and they're really excited at first, and they can come out and
fizzle out.
They drive around and they don't see anything on the board, and then they just kind of fizzle out. The
neighborhood watch type neighborhood watch.
I want to go to bed after the news anyway.
On that note, there's a lady who's meeting me with me on that. I don't know if she's talked to you on that yet, but she wants to meet me on Friday. She's talked about getting involved in all that again, like the CERT and that neighborhood watch stuff. So
I would say probably the most, the best thing I would say we could do is public awareness. Maybe just put stuff in the newsletters or on this and city's website. Tips about keeping your stuff locked up. Don't leave your keys in your car. Lock your house when you leave. Just stuff like that if everyone did, would be helpful. And, if you see something strange, call.
I guess that's what we ought to see going forward, is more public outreach or awareness of those, just reminders of, make sure your house or cars are locked and things like that. But easy things that don't cost very much that are pretty effective.
I took a report today of Friday, but the girl had her school iPad stolen and the wallet out of her car that she's left unlocked. But we're working with the school. Hopefully they can trace that. We can figure out what's at. But there's a lot of people that just still leave things unsecured. Don't take care of stuff.
It's kind of the old the little city kind of way of thinking. I know I've talked to a lot of people. We lock up tight.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. There's a lot of them that tell me all the time, I don't lock my car, I don't worry about that, that's the way you are. You think it can't happen here? See, there's a mindset. There's a mindset, like Jim said, you know, maybe some public, some PR and the paper and stuff, just to reach out to them. And
well, I know those crime rings.
It's a problem.
Yeah, those crime rings, they hit a town for a while and then they move south and or north and then they make a circle.
They migrate.
They migrate and then they, you know, they let things settle down and then they come back. But, you know, I've seen Jim operate with, I'm not going to call it a skeleton crew because we've got probably more officers than a lot of communities, but I don't think, you know, I think there's a lot of work to be done, and you've mentioned several times that, you know, we could use more patrol. I would hope that the detective could take some pressure off of the other officers by taking care of maybe some of their paperwork and some of the investigation stuff, which would allow maybe the new guy to spend more time getting some experience out doing the patrolling. And I gotta think, you've been here long enough, you know when you're stretched to the limits. If you think it's necessary, I'd probably suggest that we approve that new officer.
Oh, I'm 100% for it.
How much time are you spending on mental health issues now? That's what I see such a big increase in.
Percentage-wise, I'd say 15 to 20% of our calls, or our time on calls are spent somehow with mental health issues. Either welfare checks for people that are, you know, they've called suicide hotlines, or people, their family members come call and say, hey, there's something not right, or they actually, you know, I mean, people just flip out and just start doing stuff that's out of the ordinary, and then we deal with them, and then we take them out of the hospital. Like I say, there's no. I will say that we've probably seen as probably a 50% decrease in the amount of time we spend on them because of the security at the hospital. If they're not, if they're being decent, if it's something that the security people at the hospital can deal with. They watch them out. Other cities where they have larger hospitals with staff, security staff, they just pull up, you give them your paperwork, and they take the people and they go in. But out here, it's a little different, where sometimes it's just the nursing staff and the doctors that, you know, and so I feel obligated to stay there and protect, because I've been called out several times where people just, you know, they've destroyed equipment and rooms and hurt people and, you know, assaulted the staff out there. So you know, it makes it to where there's an obligation to make sure that, you know, you don't want to see anything happen to them. Like I say, now with their security staff, it's taken a big, we've seen a big reduction in the amount of time we have to spend out there. Did you say that?
I just know what we're seeing at the hospital is just unbelievable, in my opinion, of mental health issues.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with the way things are with the world right now, that causes a lot of anxiety with people. Drug use, I mean, I think that's probably a lot of the people that I deal with is they've overused over time. They just kind of go crazy. They just, and then of course the people that, you know, are on medication and seeing someone, but then, you know, hey, I'm not doing so good, and they don't like taking the meds. Mm-hmm. It makes them kind of a zombie, and so they'll stop taking them. And people, even there's people that I know that I deal with, I'm like, hey, how's everything going? You know, is everything okay? Are you still, you know, on track with your medication? No, I'm fine though. Like, I don't think you tried to be, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, you end up at the hospital with them. And I tried to talk, you know, I know you don't like taking that, but you sure do a lot better when you're on it. And so, there's kind of the whole down to those people.
Jim, do you work a lot with the drug force, the countywide, or?
They are.
Are they kind of a separate kind of?
We work with them quite a bit. They work cases throughout the whole county. We've had a multi-county task force now. It's just Sanpy County. There's two detectives that work drugs here. And they've got a couple cases going on right now that we're doing. But those take a lot of time and a lot of manpower. And, yeah. and to be honest with you, I mean, one time you could get, so the way the system works is you have to usually get three buys out of one location before the prosecutor will let you charge. It's not, it's kind of, it's a dumb thing. You think, oh, they sold drugs, you can just arrest them and take them to jail. But usually it takes three buys. And then the way that the system is now with drug court and with the kind of decriminalization of the drugs itself, people won't, they won't work for it. So for them to work for the task force, it's usually a threat of, you know, you can go to jail or you can do three buys from three different people and then we'll kind of help drop your charge a little bit. You won't have to go to jail. And they used to do that. But now there's no punishment for drug crimes. And so no one wants to really do that.
It's not an incentive anymore.
Yeah. So now I think it's less than just, so like, well, nothing's going to happen to me. You'll just take the
consequences. It's definitely a changing world.
Yeah. I know they still have us hang cameras. And around, and,
yeah.
You know, if they're going to watch trafficking or something like that. So,
and we do trash grabs, I guess. If we see a place that's really hot, we work with the
landfill.
The
disposal
people. They'll just dump up the trash and bring it to us, and we'll go through it. And after two or three of those, then we got enough to get a warrant and go in. But we don't. And then APMP, the places that are kind of using and selling right now, they're all on APMP. They're adult probation pro. So we just call them when things start kind of getting out of hand. Mm-hmm. And they come with us and we can just arrest them and then we're out a few hours and back to doing the same thing. But that's how it works.
I just want you to know I'm an advocate.
I appreciate it. I know you all are, and I appreciate
it. You know, this morning I got mowing the lawn. I thought, what's going on? Traffic was really slowing down coming past the house. So I wheeled the lawnmower out to the edge and looked down the street, and one of your officers had somebody pulled over down there. But it's funny that I would notice that, but I did. I noticed that they were slowing right down. And all I would ask, if they get a chance, there's other priorities. But it wouldn't take, I don't think, very many citations for people to start realizing, hey, you've got to slow down coming into town. You know, get a little bit of a presence there. But I noticed that this morning. I mean, it was crazy, but I did. I thought, geez, they're creeping.
They don't even let you put those warning trailers and stuff up that show the flash as people speed by and things like that.
I do. We have one, but it.
That old cop car down there in Torrey with the old boy. I just followed them into town. I also went into town to watch how many great lights.
The crown
looks okay, but like Fountain Green got theirs up, and you know, we've been home. Since there, a couple of cars, you may start seeing that it's no pain in those cars.
Well, the locals are getting used to it, but those people out of town, they get
the signs on Fifth West are effective. Even now, they've been there for so long, and the lights flash at me. I always look down and slow down.
So they do work.
Yeah, that's what I say. But I'm with Kevin. I think we approve it. And 100,000 seems like a lot for. Well, is that just initial cost, or is that going to be a salary?
Yeah, benefits and
wages, benefits and upstart and
insurance.
There's a lot.
Uniforms and, yeah, vehicle.
Yeah, they probably don't get
You're a higher employee. You got more benefits and all that kind of stuff, then you got wages. I will tell you that, so if you're paying them $50,000, you're gonna have $100,000 worth of experience.
Pretty much double it.
That's why the power plant told contractors instead of, everybody that quits over there, they're not replacing them, they're just using contractors, because it's cheaper to pay a contractor's wage and no benefits. Now, I know when I quit, when I left over there, it was costing them $675 a day for me in that power plant. Well, I understand that part of it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Like I mentioned last week, the six items here, that's number one priority. I think it's a no-brainer. We just need to trust Jim that he, and give him what he needs.
And I would maybe give you the charge to get a little more aggressive, where you can generate some revenue.
Yeah, you can. And like I said, you know, Dave asked me about the numbers, and I, you know, last year, I mean, we was told, you know, don't make stops, only if it's a really egregious offense, and, you know, just because of COVID, not to make contact with people trying to stay. So it was a really down last year, plus, so, you know, that'll come up.
Well, see, that's what people don't think of that.
No, you don't.
Yeah, they don't think of that they're, you know, the safety end of it, dealing with people with COVID.
Because I'm trying to remember, Jim, you know, I had an issue with, not with you guys, it was with the judge on, I don't know if it's the same judge that issue with the Fifth West ticket that was over the speed and said our sign got knocked over, and then is it, we don't have any more, right? Because he's still the same one, is he? So I guess my question is he workable if we are writing citations?
So if someone disputes it or comes in, they usually come up break or come deal. This guy, you know, even though Fifth West has probably 25 mile an hour speed zones, plus it's a residential area, plus everything else, there was a sign that had been knocked down rather than trails, and he got his citation dismissed because that sign was knocked down. I know, so
but he was going significant speed.
Yes, well. But that's how.
That's my thing. Is like that's just
if we have an aggressive prosecutor and aggressive judge, I mean things would obviously change.
That's the problem in the United States of America. Police officers aren't the problem. The judicial system behind them is. They're not backing them officers up, and that's.
Our judge does a good job,
Well, I can't.
It's a frustrating thing. Like I talked with the mayor yesterday, I mean, we've got zoning issues that have been in the court system for 2 or 3 years that aren't resolved, and. You know, it's a, you know, my secretary lives across the street from one, she knows what's going on, and she's still frustrated, like, why can't you just go do something? I'm like, you know, our hands are tied right now.
Is there any benefit, I mean, how do we approach that to where we can change that? I mean, in all honesty, to make things better. I mean, is there any options in that that you... I haven't dealt with the judge enough to know.
Well, it's so the person will come into court. They were supposed to have it cleaned up and ready to go. And I'll say, oh, sorry, judge. I've been sick, or my mom died, or the list goes on and on. I just didn't have time, and so we give him 3 more months, and then I'll come in, I'll give him 3 more months, and then it just seems to keep going and going, and then. Finally get them kind of pinned down, and then it's well, Your Honor, they said that if we give them a break, then they'll have it cleaned up, you know, within 2 weeks, and then that'll be the final thing, and then it gets continued on again. That's been the norm for...
And this last year, COVID, I know they...
Talking about cars on the streets?
We're just talking about...
In general, I guess.
Just the judge that we're going after, two or three.
So what is that? Did the attorney come up with a fee? A charge? A fine?
Don't the city pay for the judge? Don't we pay his way?
Yes.
Can't we take that out of the judge's hand, where it's an ordinance and a fine?
I'm just curious, quickly, I guess that's a whole separate topic, I'm not gonna...
It's a whole...
No, it's not, it's something that needs to be addressed.
It is, but...
I would say that our ordinance in itself is, I've looked over the new one, and it has like a $25 day additional charge if you don't clean up. And so we've had that before, and then it gets to be too expensive, and then that's dismissed if they clean. I don't know, you feel bad for people because they came in, they have a huge fine, and, you know, the judge, and of course, you know, everyone, they want to work with them. But the people don't really want to help themselves.
Well, there's also a mentality of land rights. It's a property rights. It's my property. And if I want to make pigsty out of it, it's my business and I can do. There is an element of that.
There is.
But they don't consider their neighbor or the community as a whole, you know, with that comes responsibility. With rights comes responsibility, and
you start infringing on your neighbor's rights because
And so it is. It's complicated and complex. It's not
on property stuff be hard to deal with, but on our property shouldn't be hard to deal with.
I mean,
yeah, it should be. If the fine's stiff enough, and if we can impose that, I'm just wondering how you take it out of the judge's hands.
Well, okay, if they're at him, somebody has an abandoned vehicle in the city right away, get it towed and impounded?
Yes.
We will as soon as our new ordinance can go in effect in June.
Is it June or July?
June 21st.
Okay.
Is it June 21st when that goes into effect? That's why I want a police officer in this building.
You're getting one, maybe you'll get one.
That's how I'm all willing to give. I mean, I can crack myself, but I tell you, these people in these small towns, you hear that get shot up and everything, and they didn't think it ever happened to them either, but there's a lot of nuts out there, just like you said. They get mad and they think that's the only recourse.
Well, at this rate, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock.
Thanks, Jim.
I'm all for it.
Thanks, Jim.
Brittany, what do you have for us?
Nothing. We're pretty good. In a couple of years, we're going to need a new boiler and a replaster of the pool. But other than that, we're good.
Is that replastering the pool, is that just something that you do every so often?
Yeah, they say every five to 10 years, hoping to extend it out a little bit more. So we've got plenty of time.
And what does that cost, roughly?
No clue.
I'm sure it's expensive.
So, Brittany, how are we going to address all the time you're putting in up there with no time off? I mean, that's something that... How do you address that, Dave?
I've not been asked that before.
So. Well, she's... Well, like...
Is she complaining?
She's a lot like Stephanie. Well, she talked to me about it. We talked about it. You know, it's just something that...
That's why we put it on full time.
I think full time is that 6 days a week?
I think one of the biggest things we need to do is look to see if we can hire some more adult instead of all teenagers to help you.
Yeah, that would be nice. The problem is they would work in the afternoons when I'm not there, and very few adults want to work in the evenings for not a lot of money. So.
Yeah, we ain't anywhere. Not anybody wants to work.
It's true. Didn't you put on advertisement at some point or at one point for evening help? I think you did.
We kind of put in our newsletter to try and get some volunteers.
I thought what I seen was that we wanted somebody just to come up there and like volunteer or something.
Yeah,
that's
all.
Well, that was discussed. I don't think it was advertised.
Yeah. I think we put in our newsletter, but that was it.
Yeah.
But you'll have a hard time finding people just to come up there for fun.
My main wish, I guess, since we're doing a wish list, is if I was on vacation or out of cell phone service, I could have someone that they call directly, because they call Coulter and he does great, But if he's busy with an irrigation line, he's not going to be able to get there soon enough to, I don't know, stop a hole in some random pipe or deal with an angry patron or something to that effect. So that would be a request. I don't really...
Could you cross-train somebody like Stephanie, is my thought.
She does...
I know she already has a lot on the plate, but my just thoughts is...
Well, I know she has her CPO.
She's already got her focal certification, so I mean...
I just don't know if she ever actually deals with clinical.
Or she's up there at the ball diamond.
Yeah.
She probably don't, but it...
11 o'clock at night every night.
You can train on it.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Cross-training on it wouldn't be a...
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a benefit, but I don't know. Just a thought, maybe not.
Well, that's one of the items here on our general fund list is the rec site supervisor. Maybe they can be flexible. And then get that training to where they can help out with the pool and the rec.
That's a good point. Maybe they could be a hybrid type person where they could do a little bit of both and support on each side.
Alleviate, yeah, both areas.
So...
Do they have, did they say they don't have anybody in mind for that position?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that both these gals do a great job. And I don't know how far to pay they are versus other cities. And then we're asking them to cross-train. I had a CEO come over to the power plant and do the same thing with us. He wanted us to cross-train. And I told him, I said, not this boy.
No, I think it'd be
more. You'd be more valuable. I says, yep, but you're not going to pay me anymore.
I think it'd be more if we hired this rec center supervisor. The person that we would hire would be more cross-trained, even if nothing else, to fill in for vacations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to hire another person, that's what.
Yeah.
Take the load off of them a little bit and give them.
Yeah. Because that was this last summer, that was the problem, because I was on vacation and I didn't know about the problem until it was too late and then someone was over-motivated trying to help and it didn't help at all.
Yeah.
So it just made it worse.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
I understand there's only so much money to go around, but...
Yeah. I remember it a couple of years ago when we had that problem with at the pool when the... something went out there, and I think he was out of town for a while, and you had one of your staff trying to help, and he did some stuff that messed everything up, and thinking he was going to be helpful, and put too much in.
That was this last summer. It was rough. We had to shut down for 5 days.
So, you know, if you had somebody that you could trust that in the event that you were gone, then they kind of knew enough.
And if they were there to catch it soon enough, and they weren't lifeguarding or teaching swimming lessons or all of the other things that my head guards do, then I think it would have got caught a lot sooner and it would have been an issue.
Yeah.
So if that person that Stephanie hires can cross-train, I think that would be great.
Okay, I'm with that. I just know they need some help. I mean, I guess I'm not an employer right now. I've always been the employee, and so I look at things a little different. I'm kind of an advocate for the employee.
I wouldn't say no to a raise, but I'm not necessarily asking
for one. Yeah, I understand that.
But
if you get some help, it can make things... You guys are doing a great job. I think our public works, our power department, everybody's doing an excellent job. Police department. And I understand where Dave is. He's doing a great job. We just don't have the finances. But
yeah, we just don't understand.
Something else I hate to see too is lose employees because they can go somewhere else and make more money.
That would be an issue that we deal with. I know down at Smith College, some of them have started out at $12.50 an hour, and the most I can give them is $9.75. And that's if they're water aerobics, head guard, lifeguard, swimming lessons, swim coach, all of these things. And that's the only way they can even get up to 975. Most of the time they don't pass 875. So, but I also realize we can't afford that. So.
And we are proposing a cost of living increase too, so I don't know if that would be included with part-time employees.
Dave, did you figure the cost of living for all employees seem part-time?
Except for the pool, because it kind of has its own, and I talked with Britt, it kind of has the part-timers have their own schedule and.
It's different than any other department, so it's a little harder to apply it to.
Just, yeah, with the nature of how much it's turned over with the high schoolers.
Have we been hit with minimum wage yet?
No, it's still stayed where it's at, yeah.
Just wondering where that's gonna go with that.
Any questions?
No.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany, maybe you ought to look at getting a cost of what would, for replastering a pool, just so we've got that out there, so we kind of, again. So we start planning for it, budgeting for it?
I would think so, I think it'll be quite a bit. We'll also have to shut down, drain it, refill it.
Right.
It'll be a couple week process, at least, just to get the water heated. So yeah, I'll look into that.
Look into it, so we kind of got, we gotta put that out there in the plan someplace of what we're looking at, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think you need to get a backup pump too.
Yeah.
Because I run 24/7 and, you know.
Although, I have found out that they're coming out with a new health department standard, that you don't have to circulate quite as much water in the evenings when no one's in the water. I don't know how that would work with our pump, I don't know if you can.
Be able to slow it down a little bit.
I don't know if that's even possible, but I know that that is going to become a thing here in the next couple of years, so.
Okay, thank you. Shane, what do you have for us?
I don't have any handouts for you, so I'm just gonna speak until we actually see the physical budget and kind of go through that, but we're looking pretty good. I know the commercial sales were up this last month, according to what Dave was saying. We are in the process of doing a workers' compensation slash wage study to compare us with other cities right now. That's supposed to be completed here, coming in May, and just kind of see where we're sitting. I would like to raise our on-call $50, from 100 to 150 a week, because of the area that we need to cover. For the amount of meters, it's been $100 for as long as I can remember, as long as I've been here. And so I'd like to see us just bump that up a little bit. It's not much more out of our budget. So that's one thing. And then one thing I was talking to Jeannie and Dave about is instead, we only had one person put in for part-time. I would like to hire a full-time groundsman, but I have to have the approval to adjust the budget with the council on that. And so I don't know if that's something you guys want to discuss or.
We couldn't take any action on it tonight, but yeah.
So we'll have to wait. Take Corey's place or?
Well, Corey will always have a job if he's willing to come back, but we've had five employees. We're kind of like in the same boat Jim is. We've had five employees since I started, and that's been 20 years. So they're definitely grown. We've added close to 1,000 meters since I've been here. So we're almost, we're at 2,300 right now, close to 2,300. So, and we're definitely grown, as you know, so.
Shane, on that point, how many of those would you say are outside of our city limits? The growth?
I bet.
Just rough percentage.
I bet we have like 600, between 600 and 700 out in the county.
Wow, they're worth the
meters. Maybe more than that.
And I probably asked you this before, but how does that compare with I guess one of my concerns is how much of the citizens of Mount Pleasant are subsidizing the outskirts of...
None.
None?
That's one thing that I make sure that, yeah, any new construction or anything like that, that is covered 100% completely by the developer or the customer.
Well, what about ongoing stuff?
Maintenance work.
Oh, like work-wise and stuff like that?
Isn't that part of the, do the $25 base fee too?
Yes, yeah.
That's part of the base fee, that's raised at a dollar.
That's different, the base fee is different than the one in town for the ones outside?
Yeah, well, no, it's the same. But I don't know if it's legally, if you can legally change that. I know you can't have a different rate outside of town, but I think you can have a different base rate, and that's one thing we're looking at, is maybe bumping that base.
I guess that's my only concern, is I think about how much growth is taking place outside of the citizens versus what may be...
That's your maintenance-wise?
Yeah, just ongoing day-to-day maintenance. Is that, are we rationing that or prorating that out appropriately so those people are paying more of their fair share than the citizens, I guess? And maybe you don't look at it like that, maybe you look at it just as a system as a whole. I guess
that's kind of how we look at it, as a whole big system, but yeah, that's a good point. So,
you know, just to give you an example, Justin, Mount Pleasant plays more to the fire district than Ephraim does. We have that many more utilities,
right.
Utility accounts.
Yeah.
By quite a bit.
So that's something I could look into. You know, see it comparing our time
thanks,
out man. In the county working maintenance wise.
And then where are we at on the, I know we talked about a local president, a co-op at one time with Spring City.
Yes,
yeah. Fairview and maybe formalizing that sometime in the future. Is that still
being in a discussion? Yeah. I think it's more willing to happen with Spring City, us in Spring City, because we got such a good working relationship with Ken.
Even now that maybe some things have changed in Fairview administrative-wise, is that...
Right now, Fairview doesn't. They're not really too big into it, because they just hired another guy over there, and he's going through their apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And so they think they're okay, but we still, I still make sure that if we go help them, like we went and helped them the other day, that we either swap labor, they can help us the amount of time or whatever, you know, so we can kind of keep that fair. But I can definitely see us maybe doing Spring City. Helping out Spring, because pretty much right now we're building a system.
I think there is some benefit to economy of scales when, you know, you're serving more people with and sharing resources.
Yeah.
So anyway, just those are just a couple of thoughts.
So that's still in the discussion, still in the works. And I actually might bring it up more now that, they got a new mayor over there.
I mean, I'm just saying, if we're going to hire another full-time guy, is there a way that we could share that with Spring City? Do they have a need, or...
Spring City does have a need.
Is there some discussions we could have like that?
Because Canada has been having to spend more time over there than lately because of the growth they're seeing. So they're either going to have to hire another guy, and then can't him come over work over with us or something.
Just some ideas. Anything we can do to keep the cost of power down to our citizens.
Cliff Wheeler's the mayor in Fairview now.
We're looking into
possibilities. Didn't you say?
No, in Fairview.
Fairview.
Hydro. We were able to upgrade the PLCs on the hydros. We did put that new wheel on unit 4, which was 30% more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's little things like here and there that we're trying to... we actually had a thing today on the Empower outage management system. And so, you know, where they could call into City Hall and they actually just ask them some questions. And then it's going to be either
it's going to send automatically to us, one of us, whoever's on call or whatever, and then we have more description exactly what the problem is, so we're actually not out trying to figure out what the problem is. Because sometimes people call in and they just say, oh, we got a line down. And, is it a big line? Is it your power out? What kind of line is it?
Yeah.
And so that was something we discussed today, and that's something we're going to have to do a training with the office when they come out. And but right now it's just in the works. It sounds pretty, and I think it's going to actually ease my burden a lot, because those are the kind of reports that I got to send into the American Public Power Association for the e-reliability. So that's automatically going to be, you just transfer that over into the e-reliability. You don't have to go in manually and do it all, and it takes a lot of time. And so so we're looking into those kind of type of possibilities to become more of a, so-called smart city, I guess. And we got, we've got the fiber up, and we're putting cameras up everywhere. We got, there's a lot going on. Cameron's certified fiber splicer now, part of our wish list, we would like to see if we can maybe find a, we're going to look at getting another wire trailer, because we're going to start having to, on these upgrades, we're going to have to start pulling in wire phases hot.
You have that on your wire trailer?
Yeah. And so what that is you pull the phase in right next to the hot phase, so you can keep the power on while you're pulling a new wire. And we've been doing that. Kent has been great, because he has a trailer that we've been kind of using, and we use it a lot over his pulling it hot. And so that's one of the things I was looking at, a self-loader trailer, so it doesn't tie up your line truck. And so you just go up there and pick up the rail with the trailer and call it good. So that's one thing, and another thing is a forklift. Kind of up there at the shop, we're kind of squished in there, and it's getting harder and harder to get that backhoe in and out, where we have those big trucks coming in, and so it would just be slick and nice, so you don't have to have two people there unloading with the backhoe, because you can't see the forks on the backhoe. And so with the forklift, you can just unload with one guy. 90% of our stuff. The other percent will probably have to have two guys in my truck and stuff. So that's one thing we're looking into.
So would that forklift have big tires or just the?
I want big tires. Yeah. Yeah, it would have to. It have to be willing to lift, at least some of our three-phase transformers.
Like a telehandler type forklift.
If we can, yeah. What do we budget for that? $30,000
forklift?
$20,000. That's what made me wonder what we could get for the 20.
Yeah, so I don't know if we can make that work or.
They make some smaller telehandlers that come from Genie's, the brand of them. But they have like the side of the skid loader tire. But we could lift quite a bit with them for the National Guard.
Well, on a forklift, you'd be able to. I mean, you and Colt are in the same area.
We utilize it.
You use it.
The other battle is Shane's backhoe's on a project and my backhoe's on a project, and a truck shows up.
And then we're stuck unloading everything with the line truck, which takes twice as long.
So you run into those situations like that. So
you don't have any fork left, huh?
No, we just use the forks on our backhoe. We have trucks. We have 2 to 3 trucks coming every week.
Yeah.
So
you have to unload.
Yeah.
Load the product.
Yeah.
Stack it.
So and then like with the line truck, you usually have to set it off, and then you usually have to set up again and move it. It would be nice to just take it off and move exactly where it needs to be. Set it right there. Save time that way. So So that's one thing he's looking at. I do want to see if we can maybe open up a savings account or do something to purchase a new line truck here in the next, five, seven years. The line truck we have now, it's a 2003, I believe. Or is it 2006?
I think it's 2006.
Which one's on your digger there?
Yeah, the digger there.
It's older than that. These are big buckets, you know.
Well, anyways, we want to replace that because with these taller transmission poles and the stuff that we're getting is not getting lighter, it's getting heavier. We're using bigger stuff. And so I want to just get one size bigger next time. But I would like to see if we did buy it outright and not have to, you know, take a loan or whatever, you know. I think that's the way to do it. I mean, we do have the depreciation.
Right. I thought we were going to restrict it each year.
Yeah.
$30,000.
Because that did jump quite a bit. And so Dave and I just got to kind of look, see exactly why that jumped this last year. And so.
What jumped?
That depreciation.
In the last year, it's gone up quite a bit.
We're going to drop the amount of the, you did that, Dave, didn't you? Drop the city-owned meters down to, what, 58,000 instead of 78?
78.
Yeah, you were paying close to 78,000 into the budget, but we're only going to have 58,000 coming into the budget for all the other utilities, like the water department and the pool and stuff like that to cover that cost. Because I don't know why it was at 78, but it didn't need to be. Because that's just the power of 6 cents. A little bit of demand, yeah. So we're going to be dropping that. And then.
Did you highlight the shop edition and the pen stock type?
No. But you know our penstock line is pretty old. We need to start maybe looking into that. We'll equip that upgrade tape. Changing it out with some HDP meter or something.
How about the one coming from the Peeny Pond to Unit 4?
That one's pretty good. We had the, what do you call it?
Cathodic?
Yeah.
Resistance.
Don't yeah, we had those checked and we do need to replace a few, but. It's looking pretty good. But the one between unit one, clear floor upper intake, that's the one that's really has. Every time we have to shut unit one down and we start water back in, it's leaking somewhere.
And what so, size is that line?
I think it's a 16 inch.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, HDP would be the way to go on
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Until somebody hits it, you have to repair it.
So that's something that I'd like to start, you know, if we can start saving a little bit here and there on that. So, but our revenue is looking, is definitely going to be, it's going to be going up this year with the. I mean, we're already seeing it on it in the commercial sales.
15,000 ounces a month. Which yeah. Received that whole month.
Yeah. So that's looking pretty good. But the biggest thing right now is just getting for us. It's just getting some help.
Yeah.
A full-time groundsman. We're gonna see if we can put it out first in-house, and then if we need to, we'll take it out. To the public.
In-house within the whole city.
Yeah, we're supposed to advertise it for 5 days in-house before we advertise it out.
How much you paying?
Yeah. Starting out at 17.
Might be a good deal.
then we'll see how, and if it works out, pans out, what I'd like to see is eventually, and if the person looks like he has a family, he's going to stick around, I'd like to eventually work it into an apprenticeship and, you know, and work on that. So if it works out, give him the 6 months probation and then kind of look at it then. If not, then we'll give him another 6 months and just kind of see where we're sitting on that.
So a question I have is, we're looking at reinstating the impact fees for power.
Yes.
Would we be able to use some of that impact money for this? I mean, obviously we wouldn't get it right away, but can we make these purchases with impact fee money?
No, the impact fee money has to just go directly to the projects that are listed in your impact fee study.
Okay.
And new projects. Okay. So, but we can buy new transformers, we can buy poles, we can buy whatever.
Stock, wire, stock.
Yeah, and that's what kind of hurt us when they got rid of the impact fees is because we buy a lot of that from the impact fee.
Uh-huh.
And
so yeah, it's kind of a yes and no question answer.
Yeah,
because it will give you more money in your budget.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
You can use towards it.
Yeah. If you're not spending it on poles and stuff, you can spend it on.
See, because we're and where we're sitting on the impact fees, just so you know, is they did finish the study, but the impact fees with the projects that we had in mind that needs to be done. They're way too high. So we went back to the drawing board and I sat down with the two engineers and we cut out some projects. And the projects we cut out were the projects that I knew that the developers are going to be paying for if they come in and they develop. Like if they end up going up Aspen Hills, they're going to have to pay to upgrade that whole line clear down from Mountainville all the way clear up Aspen Hills. Or if the Gateway subdivision comes in, they're going to have to upgrade from the hydro line all the way in to the Freedom Ranch line going up in there. So that's why we haven't hooked any more connections past that gate up there in Gateway. And we're not going to unless they upgrade that line. And we gave them quotes on that and all that. So we cut those projects out of the budget. They're still on there. They're still on the sheet. So if we wanted to put impact fees towards those, we can. Because they're on the list, but
is it still the same way though with your power as it is with the water, where we don't have the 5,000 residents yet, that you don't necessarily have to have that list to be able to use your impact fee?
I don't know, but I know they treated us like that, just discover everything.
Yet. I think the impact
because the impact fees
the same regardless of what enterprise or what utility it is.
Because they wanted to make sure, just in case we see a lot of growth. That you know, that we're covered everything, so we don't have to redo the impact fees right. For another, few 10 years. But when we get to the point where it's looking kind of feasible for us, I'll bring that to the council. We'll discuss it, and we'll decide where we want to sit because we got 100%, the 75%, the 50%.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't you just leave it how it is, and then based on your recommendations and the council's discussion, why can't we just settle on a percentage? And
so because they were telling me that other percent has to be covered from, you know, somewhere else from the city, just like those impact fees up in the school district. The 40,000 that we gave to the school district because we moved that service to the new school. So they should have paid impact fees for this new service that they hooked up to the old school. Yeah, but they didn't, and that was covered. That had to get covered through the city, through us. And so those had to be covered. So and that's the situation we ran into. So yeah. So that percentage has to be covered somehow.
It was
so.
My understanding, though, you could set the impact fee.
You can.
And you can't, whatever that is, you can't waive an impact fee.
No.
Somebody has to pay it, but... Once it's established, I thought that's what it was, and as long as they're paying that, if they only paid 50% of it, of what was established, then yeah, somebody else would have to cover that 50%, right. But, so.
That's why I wanted to just 100%, have them pay 100%.
I see what you're saying.
And so you don't run into the issue,
And I think we're going to be able to do that with, because that cut $1.2 million off of the capital, all facilities project list. And so, so hopefully I can have that to hear pretty soon, or I'm kind of rushing, because we've been working on it for a year. Which in a way is good, because then I know, I feel like we're being pretty thorough.
But we can't collect on it, 90, is it 90 days?
90 days until 90 days after we've adopted it.
Yeah.
Is it 90 or 60?
90.
90?
Oh. Yep, so the sooner we get it, then the 90 days start ticking, so.
Yeah. All
right. So, yeah.
But that's all I have, unless you guys have some questions.
Thanks.
I don't.
But that was one of the main things on the list of issues that I had that's affecting our budget is no impact fees. We are going to contract it. We're contracting out with Colstead Stagel to do our big trucks servicing them. And he's also the one that works for Altec and tests our trucks. So we're going to, he's just going to do the servicing and stuff on the side. He wants to do a side business. And so, and I'm like, I'm totally cool with that because he knows the trucks in and out.
Where are they out of?
He lives in Wells, or
he moved down to,
I think he might have moved down to Gunnison. But yeah, he comes up and we have a problem with our trucks. And so instead of sending our trucks clear up north to get fixed, he comes on site and fixes them if he can. If not, then we have.
So we have a service truck to drive around.
Yeah.
That testing that he does is something that none of my guys.
Yeah, you gotta be certified to do all that dielectric testing.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for in our professional service. So I'm looking at doing $45,000. I don't know how you guys feel about this for $35,000 for contracting some tree trimming on. I've been talking to Nephi and a few other UAMPS municipalities to see how they do it. And from what I figure in, to have a tree company come in and do it is cheaper than having us go do it and putting the wear and tear on our buckets. Because tree trimming is one of the worst things you can do with your buckets that need to be dielectric tested every year.
Yeah.
And so that's still something I'm looking into. And as soon as I kind of figure that out, I'll let you guys know. Because we've been falling behind on that every year. And we just, come winter, we get an early snow, we're going to have some issues. So. But I think once you get on top of it, it's going to be easy to stay on top of it.
Sure.
And so, but right now we're just, with everything else going on, we don't have time.
But it even, well, as I say, if not, as I say, it would be better to get one of those reach all man lift deals to trim tree branches with rather than your bucket trucks too?
The thing is, your bucket truck has to be certified because you're going to be working up in hot lines.
Oh, that's true.
And so, unless you're, that is.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
And so these tree truck companies, they have all that equipment. And they're actually certified to do, hot work. And so we might have to designate one guy out there with them to manage the feeders so we can put what we call one feeder on one shot, so if something does happen, you don't get nailed three times, you only get nailed once. And so to help out, with the tree trimming. But right now we're just putting a list together of all the bad trees, and I got some companies coming in to kind of take a look, and they're going to give us a bid. And we'll see where they come in at.
Okay.
So, we are doing vibration tests every month on our hydros instead of yearly, so we can actually see a
a track record. So if Aaron does start doing that, we can actually see it real quick. Because you're going to have that history. Mm-hmm. And so before we've done a year and it didn't do nothing, you know. We have one guy come out and do vibration tests that looked good, and then 2 weeks later, we have the balance. But at least we can hopefully maybe catch some harder so we can keep these hydros going. So that's something we got in the budget, in the professional services. And yeah. And then this manpower. Information that we're looking into, so average management and all that. So, and I don't know if Colter, I haven't talked to Colter if he'd want to jump on board with that, because it can also be used for water utilities and electric utilities or whatever. So, and it wouldn't be too hard to put them on there for average management either. So, and the mayor's going to be talking August 15th, giving a speech.
Did you find out? Is that going to work, or?
We'll talk to you later.
Is that you, Lance?
Yes.
Yeah, Squaw Valley?
Squaw Valley, yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Me and talking don't get along too good.
Are you going to make it this year, Justin, or?
I don't know, I'd like to go.
It's beautiful up there.
Yeah, I was there last time.
Yeah.
Except for I was stressed out because I had to do a presentation. I'd like to go and just enjoy myself.
Yeah. Oh, so am I.
How does that work with UAPS? I mean, the city's on the hook, right, unless you're presenting?
So with the mayor and I presenting, you know, that will be covered.
Yeah.
Through UAPS and so.
All right, for some of my general fund capital purchases and projects, we've got the sprinkler system at the park and the sanitary. Some we've talked about is using some of the COVID money.
Apparently she didn't understand.
Yeah, sorry. Gotta talk louder. Is that something we should look at using some of that COVID money on?
Yeah, how possible.
Okay. Getting the sprinklers up at the cemetery today, I would like to focus our main focus to the park first. I think we can work on getting the sprinklers at the cemetery later. We'll be able to adjust a lot of them and get some coverage. Our worst section is B, where there's only three lines running through it instead of four, and trying to get your coverage. If you get any wind or rain, you don't get your coverage. And that leaves some dry spots. But the park is demolished. The sprinkler system out there is in really bad shape.
How soon will we know on that grant, Justin? Do you know? The one that you applied for?
Not until winter.
I was going to say, not for next year.
We could get through this year. It'll be rough, but we could get through.
Well, and then I don't know that you want to. The other thing is, do you want to tear that up in the spring of the next year and have it tore up for all that time? That's the question. Is what's the best time to do it? Even if you do get funding, is it better to wait until fall to do it?
Yeah, it is a tough question.
So yeah, I don't know. We can do it. I mean. If you think we have the money to do it without the grant funding, then, I mean, the restrooms and everything else was included because that's kind of what I was directed to do, and so that's the way I put it together, but I guess it's up to the...
I think if you all wanted to get that done, we could take that out of capital projects and do it.
And then it wouldn't be eligible for reimbursement because...
Right, so I mean, if we're out there for a 50-50 grant, I mean, I'd be hesitant to that.
Let me see how I can bring it together tomorrow and see how that can be getting through this year.
Just as long as you're not getting electrocuted or anything.
Yeah, I got electrocuted twice today. I'll have that fixed tomorrow. We got problems. I took a full 117 volts.
You might want to borrow some clothes.
Just out in the park?
Cemetery.
Oh, cemetery.
Yeah, I went to unplug the sprinkler control box. It bit me. There's something wrong.
Twice?
Huh?
It bit you twice?
I hope we don't need a pull and then dig in the new line, that's what, we'll find out tomorrow.
I'm glad it's you, I don't like to hold a flashlight if it's gonna short it.
It was fun afterwards, but it wasn't. We talked about drilling a new well for irrigation for the cemetery. But looking over those, the driller's notes from last time, I'm not 100%.
Yeah.
Thinking it's a great idea now.
I know it.
When it shows where he hit water, he's a lot deeper than we thought. So I don't know how that looks. It doesn't look good, how's that?
How deep are we talking?
I have to go get that paper.
Well, it's all right.
The well went 313 feet, I think, so it was, but it was quite a bit deeper than where we was told when he hit water. We was told originally it was like 40, 50 feet.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of water. And a lot of water, and that's not the case.
And his notes don't show that.
On his notes, it just don't show that.
Okay.
So our hope there that we could re-drill, it's not looking as hopeful.
So, the other one's a new side-by-side for grounds, and grounds at the cemetery and rec. All the side-by-sides we have are super old, and they're starting to take a ton of maintenance. We use them for the cemetery. Power guys are borrowing when they had to go up Skyline. Steph uses them to drag the fields. Like they're used, well used by everyone. And one's still in pretty good shape, but one you got to hold the shifter in the whole time you're driving it, or it pops out. So we'd like to upgrade one of those. That's on the list for capital purchases.
I think we got to do.
As far as wages for us. We're going to be doing the COLA increases. I've got two guys that'll be going to school that may be eligible for $1.50 raise, but that's it. Far big raises for public works this year. I would like to look at hiring a cemetery groundskeeper / public works full time. With the treatment plant coming, the irrigation project coming, It's going to up our workload a ton. And so
I'm just wondering though, you got probably two years before those projects are even going to be needing anybody, but
I know, but then maybe I'll have them trained by then.
And say it takes a little while to train somebody.
Yeah. Capital purchasing projects for public works, a new lift for the shop, our lift broke. That we use to service the trucks. It's been up there since Block was up there. It's time to upgrade that so nobody gets hurt. Rock screen is a kind of a wish list for me. We call them a grizzly. It screens the topsoil out and one side and the rocks go the other way. We use them a lot at the cemetery. We have a homemade one, but it don't work.
It don't work.
We'll
go in on that too, part on that too, so we can use it.
The tire balancer, these bigger trucks we're getting with the duallys, the little balancer we got won't spin the tires for the duallys. They're just too big.
So Sam was saying he had to leave for birthday party, but he's saying that the scooter, they went to put something right in the tire.
Yeah, it looks like a beanbag.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we could go to that.
He said that's a lot cheaper than buying the balancer.
And we could scratch that and do that too, because that's how I balance the semi tires right now, because I'm not going to spin a semi tire. It's like a beanbag that goes in your tire and it finds a spot where it's out of balance. Huh. It's kind of crazy that it actually works, but it does work.
Huh.
Something else that me and Shane talked about is putting in a shed up to the shop area to put pipe and conduit in to keep our expensive stock stuff out of the weather.
He's gonna move those 60, 70-foot poles down to the substation and put it back there. We'd be able to put PVC, all my kind of PVC pipe, water pipe, their conduit, manhole lids. We talked about seeing if we could fit transformers in there, so in the middle of a snowstorm, when we need pipe, we can find it, and then it's not sitting out in the snow bake, or the sun baking, and getting brittle. Couple things that I would like to start a savings account for is to upgrade our vac truck. It's another one that we worked it to death, and it's a 2001. No, there's nothing wrong with it yet, but I'd like to start a savings account for 5 to 7 years down the road, being able to upgrade that truck.
Where does the money come from for, you talk about savings account, both of them?
A lot of it would come from depreciation of them.
Yeah, your
depreciation, and then if you actually open an account.
But it comes from revenues from your sewer rates is where it comes from.
From your water and sewer rates that come out of there.
But it's just allocated to fund depreciation.
Another big project I would like to try to get spearheaded pretty quick is the headworks for our sewer pump. What a headworks does is it screens out all your inorganics. Kind of looks like a Ferris wheel that gets all your feminine products and baby wipes and anything that's not going to break down in your pond, pulls it out and dumps it into a dumpster. We're getting a lot of stuff down there.
Yeah, I'm going to take
an estimate on what that would cost.
No, so Gunnison just put one in. I'd like to go down and look at Gunnison's. And if you guys want to cruise down one day with me and look at Gunnison's, kind of see what that costs them and how they're liking it.
Yeah. And I think there's part of that got paid by Centerfield too, wasn't that a joint?
I think so, yeah.
What was it you called it?
Headworks.
Headworks, okay. That's pretty much all my big stuff right there.
I want to talk about the cemetery groundskeeper. We had Mrs. Stoker in here. She thinks we ought to contract that out to a private contractor, but I feel like we need to keep that in house. You know, if we do hire her. Because that groundskeeper, you know, I don't see him out there all day, every day. He can fall off that occasionally and help Kohler out in other areas.
So what my thought with that is right now we're paying most monument service, we pay some money to come in and level headstones and mark graves. And they're kind of wanting to get out of that. And Weston's last name is Monk. He worked for his dad at the shop. He knows how to mark the graves. He knows how to level the headstones. And I would like to capture some of that in-house too. And that's where some of the money would come from. Some would come from, I'm drawing a blank bit.
Your
perpetual care
for leveling the headstones.
Yeah, so we put a part of that wage to perpetual care, and then once he starts catching up on a little bit of that stuff during the winter months and fall, he can help us with a lot of stuff we got going. And what I also want to do is normally we hire 3 part-time guys every summer. I'd like to keep him on full time and only hire 2, and in the summer he would kind of be the ramrodder of the grounds and taking care of it. He can start up the sprinkler systems and he can capture a lot of that stuff, and we could be doing other stuff that we need to be doing.
So this is in addition to replacing Bodie.
Yeah.
But he already works for us.
Who?
Monk.
Yeah. Part-time.
Part-time. He's only part-time. He's
over. Part-time, but he's been here all the time.
Yeah, he's our seasonal help over the camp.
But we kept him on to help us with some winter stuff, and with his brother being sick, he's been able to help shingles and stuff too.
Well, the money's in the budget for a cemetery groundskeeper. I'm assuming it is.
Well, I guess my thinking is that why do we stop at the cemetery? Why can't he look at taking care of all the grounds if that's parks?
Well, it should say cemetery/grounds/public works. So the cemetery portion is leveling the mark, leveling that stone and marking grave, and then being over the grounds and helping out.
So he would be kind of the lead out there, and then the guy, the summer help, would be under his direction?
Yep.
Which, I mean, obviously, he would be ultimately under your direction.
Yeah.
But he would, his main focus in the summer would be on the grounds.
Yep. Grounds and headstone.
Well, what about City Park?
That's part of the ground.
That'd be part of the ground,
yeah. Well, and this and that, and...
Yeah. Library, rec center.
Well, definitely, we're the whole list. You got the fourplex.
There's 17 buildings.
Yeah, and we take care of more properties than that. So you got the fourplex, when you come down, you got the cemetery, you got the park, you got the soccer field, you got the wagon wheel park, and then coming this way, you've got the relic house, city hall, city administration building, the old Wasatch gym, the splash pad, which one?
The health department.
The health department.
Behind the stores.
Behind the stores.
Yeah, parking there.
A lot of that.
I just want to say something. This sounds really familiar with what me and Kevin were talking about 3 or 4 years ago of having somebody that took ownership of the buildings and grounds, basically. But it sounds like that's all came back full circle now, and that we recognize the need for that. And I'm not saying we were right or anything, but it's just kind of funny how it's came back full circle. So.
Well, it's just stuff that they can't get to. It's just stuff they can't get to, and it was recognized a long time ago, but we haven't done a very good job of keeping somebody in there.
Right.
So.
I feel like
it's very much needed.
Yeah, it has been needed for a long time.
When Pam wanted to bid that out, I was offended. I'm not going to lie to you guys. My guys have worked hard out there, doing the best they can to try to keep the cemetery up and looking good.
Well, yeah, and we're in an unprecedented drought right now.
So I'd like to say,
really, nothing looks good.
No. I actually had a letter from the Division of Natural Resources on coming up with the city's drought plan. They're pretty stressed and want to make sure that all the cities are getting the drought plan together. Twin Creek called me Monday morning. Twin's going to go down again.
There's just no water coming out.
The mountain's dry again. So it's going to be a long summer.
I imagine the farmers down there that's on that, that's going to impact them. Old Jim Sorensen. Well, that's why we need these wells.
With no groundwater, wells are only so good.
Well, the wells will be, they're more consistent than what our runoff is.
Yeah.
We don't have no storage, so we've got to rely on wells.
Yeah. And that's...
Well, I think Pam means well. I wouldn't take too much of offense by that. I think she's certainly got a right to express herself, and we can't blame her for that. So
no, but going back, and so I actually went and asked Sandra. I said, so when Public Works took back over mowing, I said, has there been, what is your honest opinion on how it's went? She says it's 10 times better since you guys took it back over than it was when it was contracted out. She said they just dumped grass clippings wherever they wanted all over. They were very foul with her.
Yeah, but that was one contractor. I don't think you can say that one contractor is going to be the same in every situation.
No, I agree. I'm not saying every contractor is the same way.
I'm just, you know, we have to be open to suggestions and open to doing, being more analytical. Okay, does it make sense to contract certain things out, or does it not? And rather than just saying, as a matter of opinion, I don't think it does. I think you need to look at the actual numbers and say, does it make sense or doesn't it?
Well, that's what the impact piece. I had to go with contractor prices because there's some projects that I know we probably won't be able to do. And so I'm like, base it on contractor prices.
You have to.
You have to, yeah. Because there's just like, we're looking at the tree trimming, you know. contracting that out, so it's, yeah, it's just some stuff you can.
I'm just saying, I think for, we owe it to the citizens to make sure that we're looking at all of our options and making sure we're making the best decisions for them. That's ultimately, it's their, and us, we're all citizens, we are, you know, getting the most bang for our buck, because those things are getting more expensive and those dollars are becoming harder and harder to come by. And so I just think that, you know, we need to be sensitive to that.
I don't know how much a contract would cost, but if it's in line with what it would cost to have a full-time employee.
So I can tell you what we were paying to have all the properties taken care of. It was $4,000 a month, 12 months a year.
Why 12 months?
That's what his contract was.
Well, that's $50,000.
Yeah, $48,000.
You're gonna pay that for an employee. You got all the equipment, maintenance, and all that.
Benefits. I'm not saying it's the right way to go. I'm saying is we ought to be more analytical as we're looking at things like this.
I 100% agree with you.
I can only see the load it would take off of your hands if the right contractor was there. We're always talking about how short-handed we are, and I don't know. I think it's, I just think it was a full-time employee instead of a contractor. When he wasn't the season, he could be used elsewhere and do other things. Where the contractor, he's going to have specific things that he's going to do for the city.
Again, if you're taking apples to apples, you got to consider you're paying the contractor from what, April 1st to...
The old contract was 12 months a year.
No, I'm just saying though, his actual work would take place from April 1st to 1st of October?
1st of October. If you want to go April 15th to October 15th, that's the one.
So you're taking April, May, June, July, yeah, 6 months.
Well, now, don't they do leaves and all of that? What are they doing, leaves and fertilizing and spraying?
They did fertilize. I don't know about spraying. They did do some leaves, but we'd always have to go back and redo them.
I guess I'm hung up on why the contract was for 12 months. Was it just set up that way originally, or
maybe his payments were just that?
I think it was his payments were made that way. The contract was so much, but he was paid over 12 months instead of 6 months.
Just so the city didn't have to take such a hit.
Well, for both ways, so yeah. The contractor's got something coming in every month
in the winter time.
Right. Even though he's not working, he's still got a paycheck coming in to survive the winter.
Yes.
Probably going to be more expensive on that now with the
prices
going up as far as fuel and all of that.
Yeah. Well, same for us. Yeah. Yeah. Too. But I don't know. I guess I want to just make sure that I feel like it's my responsibility as a member of the governing body to make sure that we're looking at all the issues and analyzing them and also being as efficient as we possibly can. And I just feel like for me personally, I have to have a comfort level that that's taking place. So,
yep. Some of the things on this letter from Division and Natural Resources they've covered, which we're talking about restricting water days to 2 days per week, and then down to 1 day a week if the drought persists. Recommend the customers postpone new landscaping project until a wetter year.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend postponing the replacement of trees down in Lashing Woodstone until a better water year. Asking local nurseries to stop low water use plants. Because of fire restrictions, because more than 80% of the fires in 2020 were human caused, consider a ban on fireworks and fireworks sales. Restrict or ban outdoor target shooting. Limit outdoor fires to establish fire ring at a gravel perimeter at least 6 feet. Prohibit using water to wash driveways and sidewalks. And so
can you just base your drought plan off that and say, and take those items and say these are how we're mitigating the drought by doing these things, and
yeah,
put in more of a plan format?
And then give that out to their citizens.
Yeah, that'll be part of the plan, is obviously public outreach, but.
Have we posted water restrictions yet?
Yeah, we started on restriction.
On it still.
They're like 3 days a week?
Yeah, we're 3 days a week.
It was in the newsletter on Facebook.
Yeah, it's went out in the newsletter twice now.
When you go to switch that over after, did we talk about a month for 3 days a week that we was gonna?
It depends on the water.
Whatever the water masters call me and tell me.
Yeah, because I've had a lot of people ask me that question. I said, well, right now it's 3 days a week, but it's gonna change in a hurry.
Yeah, it is.
And you know, somebody says, well, why are we using that water now? I said, well, if we don't use it, Delta will. And I said, that might not be the right answer, but that's the truth of it. And I said, but I think they'd get by with 2 days a week myself, but.
As things start getting worse, where do you want me to focus the city's water?
I think the cemetery and the park need to be covered.
Best we can.
Best we can.
That's where people gather, that's where people go.
And they get a lot of pressure and they get chopped out and they won't, then we'll be replanting them. We have to use culinary water to do it. We have to use culinary water.
It's all culinary water now.
And we need to shut it off.
With watching our tank, our spring, our water coming in has not come up. And watching our tank levels, we're doing okay right now. If we start spiking our tanks hard again, how much do you guys want to run the wells? How much?
I think we ought, well, obviously we need to run them to keep in safe levels. I guess that's the question, is a lot of people, I don't know how many people are using outdoor water for their culinary. I know there's a percentage of the city that does. I think everything up in your, up there is on culinary, isn't it?
It is. That whole subdivision.
Well, the irrigation system don't, you get enough pressure. You have to.
I know, and so I guess that's, you know, how much do we want to allow people to at least keep some of their things alive? Even if it puts, even if it taxes the culinary system a little bit.
I know Fairview already told their citizens, you either have a garden or you have a lawn. You can't have both. They've already told them. They've been shut off already most of the spring already.
Yeah. But I mean, you have a better feel than we do of how well the wells would keep up on a demanding day in the middle of August. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, are we running?
That's something you need to do. Either garden or grass.
I mean, those pumps can run 24/7 if they need to. I mean, it's harder for them to turn on and off than it is to keep running in most cases, but.
Our shop well ran most of the summer last summer. The 92 well, I don't run it a lot, but that's the one we burned up. We got some sand in it.
Is that the one up by the tank?
Yeah. I worry about running that one a lot. If we shut our water level down and start sand again, we'll burn that pump down.
Sure be nice if we had a couple of other irrigation wells in the bottom of town that we could pull from. But we don't.
So I'll watch our water levels and what we've got coming in on our spring line and how much we're running our pumps. And I'll just try to. Is it legal to shoot you guys a mass text to keep you informed?
Is it legal?
Yeah.
It's not illegal.
Well, I'm just saying, is it? They're considered.
We love our phones beeping all day.
That's what I use for communicating. My emails and my text is my phone.
I like what you've been doing so far.
Okay.
I like being informed.
It was not okay to text like
that. It wouldn't be an imposition for me. I don't know. I don't want to speak for the rest of them.
Do you guys hate group text? Because I can do it separately too.
Group text.
That's fine, because then we get input from everyone.
I was trying to keep you guys updated with everything that's going with our water, just so you know exactly our whole situation. Maybe I'll just do a weekly update to you guys.
I think get bad enough, I think the state's going to come in on us and say no culinary water for outside use.
There,
They're getting pretty serious about it.
Well, you have to, you eventually have to weigh the circumstance. You want to take a shower, have a drink of water, or do you want to have a drain of grass?
Now, that grass will come back next year.
Get some filter water out of your shower and put out on your grass. Yeah, there you go.
Hard to think when you start thinking, well, water is life. I mean, you got laundry, dishes, cooking, showering, drinking. We use water a lot.
Well, and I guess my concern is with no, you know, however that storage situation turns out, based on, you know, the growth trends that we're seeing, those people are going to want to have lawns, and if we don't, there's no sense of hooking up to the irrigation system if it just compounds the problem that we have already. Does it make sense? I mean, obviously right now, I know there's a moratorium on that, on any new connections on the irrigation system, so they have no choice but to water with the culinary.
My whole subdivision is on culinary too.
So again, the moratorium, basically though too, is what we're really pushing on lot splits, is that they reduce. When these lot splits are coming in, that's got risers on them, doesn't have to split the existing one from 2 inches down to 1 inch and 1 inch.
Right, but we're not allowing any new connections to the main, what I understand.
No.
So, is the four bricks on culinary up there too?
Yeah, everything's on culinary.
I know the high school is.
Whole high school, the elementary, Wasatch, majority of Wasatch is, the hospital, the parks.
Well, how come when we done the irrigation system, they didn't get switched over on that irrigation system?
They never had the water shares still?
I don't know for sure. But I don't know that it would matter at this point, because
it would not.
I'm sure when we got in that pinch, me and the mayor had to meet with the school district, Wasatch, us, and we actually had to do that paper separating when all the sprinklers come on, because we taxed the tank real hard a couple times.
They were about drained one night.
Up to the point I had two feet in the lower tank.
So you got hooked to the irrigation system and just cut off the culinary. They do what they have to do, like the rest of us have to do, that don't have culinary water.
Yeah.
But as far
as raining, and it's raining in McAllister's across the street, it's poured rain a week ago, and their sprinklers are all there.
But with the
I don't know how many people went by and seen that, and I thought, but it's set up on a timer.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
I'll be glad we can get our irrigation system in, and that'll solve a whole bunch of problems, and then the treatment plant and the wells. We're a couple of years away from.
So we're going to have to deal
just
with
just got to weather the storm.
So, folks, you haven't seen any increase on. I know we're starting to see a little increase on there in Pleasant Creek. It's going to take a little while to hit the aquifer. But last year never come up. Normally in June I'm pushing 500 gallons a minute coming down the spring line. Last year I never got over 3. This year so far right now we haven't broke. I'm about 170 right now. It's always coming down on our spring line.
Well, the state hydrologist, he says that because of the cool weather, and because the temperatures aren't soaring, that it's melting slow, and everything's going straight in the ground up on the mountain. It's not even making it to the creeks.
Yeah, the creeks are dry.
The old mountain's just sucking it up.
It's too dry.
Where if you get good hot weather, then you get the runoff. But right now, it's melting slow enough that the old mountains are absorbing it.
Yeah,
yep. You can't mess with slow, Mother Nature.
No.
They get hot, then it's gone in a week.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we have no control at all.
I guess in my mind, if you have, there is a difference between irrigation and culinary, because that's meter and you are generating revenue from it. But if there's no water, if we're depleting or exhausting all of our sources to keep up, then that's not a good situation either. I don't know if there's some kind of balance we can find there or not.
Well, we ran that well. Was it last year, the year before that? The year before we replaced it. But we ran that well so hard that it actually welded the compact in.
together with Gus Ahan. We actually had to replace that pump on.
Is that the 92 one you're talking about?
The one by the shop, city shop, it was on Main Line.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was running 24/7.
That was just the motor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's part of our job right here is the city council and mayor. We make a decision. If it gets to the point where we say no outside water with culinary water, that's a decision we make for the benefit of the city. And if their lawns go brown, so be it. But that's something that's going to come down on us if it gets to that point, and then we have to make that decision. We have to do just like you said, what's right for the city, what's right for the community.
You can only have so many water in your tanks to cover fire suppression and.
Yeah, there's probably that. There's a lot of things we'd have to look at, but that's where it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to right here, and we're going to have to make them decisions.
Well, I guess that's what, I guess in my opinion, if it, those decisions should be being made by the governing body.
Yeah.
Of even restrictions and certain things like that, because some of us may have an idea or consideration that hasn't been thought of. So I guess from my perspective, I would appreciate some to be involved in those decisions of when and how and what we restrict.
Exactly, yeah. Now, we just need to be stable.
Some of it on the irrigation
we
side.
We need to know what's going on.
Because that's controlled by the company.
Yeah. By the company, so yeah.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Okay, thank
there
you.
There isn't any water, there isn't any water. Go, that's just the way it is. You want to have a cold glass of water, or do you want your lawn to be green?
Yep. But I know some people in town will answer that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
And say, hey, I want both.
Yeah, they'd do that until they needed that cold glass of water.
You can buy a bottle of water, it's terrible.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say, most people are buying their water anyway.
Yeah.
That they drink.
Well, we got a whole lot of them that I'm selling right now that's storing at 250 gallons at a time.
Yeah. Can I say something before Dave gets started?
Yep.
Several years ago, we passed a resolution to create a finance director, which created Dave's position. He's been put in that position at that time. And I just want to say I hope that he's being utilized in that position as much as he could be. So,
have words. Don't talk to Dave.
One question that we had was it last week? Yeah, the long-term disability cost. I broke that out totally by each fund, and then the total cost of that premium option is $5,520.
We're thinking $9,000
per month.
For the year.
For the year.
Yeah.
For all the employees.
For all the full-time employees.
Yeah. Boy,
that was the LTD you're talking about.
Yeah. And that guarantees them what? How much? What would they get wage-wise? 67%.
Depend a bit on what the nature was. If it was a work-related accident, it was going to be 100%. If it was another situation is 2/3.
So 2/3, 66%. Now, I think for that price, I think that's something that our employees ought to have. Now, I tell you from personal experience what it done for me.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but not like long-term liability insurance. Just pay till Social Security disability kicks in, or
right. So
those
it's
other
like
things.
A 2-year program.
Yeah. So I don't pay them, you know, the rest of their life.
No. I know that personally because it's for a period until you get that Social Security disability. That's what I'm trying to get clear on right now.
That's probably why it's a little bit
lower,
less than what you would think.
Yeah.
But I also thought I read somewhere in that literature that Jeannie had out that it would not cover pre-existing conditions before this took effect. So there's some that already fall into that category, right?
And then there's isn't there a how many months before it kicks in? I mean, how many months do they have to be disabled? Disabled?
I think it was like 3 months. They had to notify that there was a cause. And then there was over the waiting period.
I think he does it workman's comp.
I thought it was within 6 months. They have to do it, but the waiting period is 3, but I don't, I have to look at it.
You know, it's something that, I mean, looking back, even individuals ought to be looking at that. I mean, it, like your life insurance, you know. Your life insurance is not typically paid by, I mean, there's always a $5,000 or $10,000 policy that goes with your health insurance, but people ought to think about that when they're working. You can buy long-term liability insurance, and I wish, you know, this is the first time I've had to deal with it, but I wished I would have even thought of it as a worker, having some kind of a policy, just like my life insurance policy.
Yep. Yeah.
Even if the company that I work for doesn't carry it.
Yeah.
If you see that you're at risk or you're starting to break down, by darn it, if a guy don't think he can make it till 65 or whatever, he ought to be thinking about those kinds of things.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
And I don't think $5,000, I think $5,000 we ought to could include it with our deal, but I also think that, I just think that it's probably wise to have for what it would cost.
Well, apparently we had it once before and somehow it fell through the gaps.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
Nope, we don't.
So my question is that something that you guys feel like you would approve to build into my tentative budget?
I would vote yes.
I would.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know about, well, I'll tell you, when you get hit with it, it's invaluable to the employee.
Right.
Invaluable.
It ought to be either built in or the option for people to buy, one of the two.
Yeah. Well, are you going to have the employees pay for it, or are you going to...
No, this is... So we checked in...
I don't think we can.
Yeah. No, you can't. You get it for one, you got to get it for all of them.
Well, I know, like I said, we have to buy our own.
Well, some of that's exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We need to have it one way or the other.
Public employees are a lot different, though, than the laws and rules that we have, but...
Well, even in the private sector, if you're going to provide it for one, you have to provide it.
I know, but you, in the private sector, you have the option of having the employees pay for it.
Oh, right.
How many employees we got? How many are we talking about? That would cover all of you, all the employees.
It would just cover the benefited employees.
Yeah.
Full-time.
Yeah, full-time employees.
21.
Huh?
21 full-time.
21 divided into 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very much.
That's what I say. You know, for the security of their employees to have that in case something happens.
Yeah.
If I hadn't had it, I'd have lost my home and everything. I'd spent 25 years of my life working in that power plant to pay for it. It'd been gone. And I think it's a great benefit for $5,000.
Yeah.
And then the other question then I still would like to kind of pin down is what you guys felt like after hearing all the department heads, especially in the general fund, is what's your priority? So I know what to build into the tentative budget that I'm going to present next week.
We need to talk about the Mont deal. We haven't. What me and you talked about.
So I showed the mayor how we calculate administrative fees, and so it has all the employees listed on there that are in administration, so like me, Jeannie, Natalie, and Mont's also in there. And then he thought where Mont is really the RDA director, but we're paying him out of the general fund, should remove his wages or basically do an admin fee for that RDA offset. We built 17, 18,000, but that does help out my overall shortage trying to fund as much stuff as we can on here.
No, I'm not understanding what you're saying. Moving from general fund to another fund?
RDA.
To the RDA fund.
So he would, his wages would come out of RDA.
Which he used to. We had to move him because in our payroll system, back when he was a 1099 employee, I didn't have a method to do payroll of an RDA fund. So I just moved that into the general fund years ago.
But he's still considered a city employee, right?
Right, correct.
So basically, his salary would come out of the RDA fund as an administration fee instead of out of the general fund.
And so it would be coming from whatever revenues are generated through the apartments and other things.
Yeah.
That makes sense. There's money there to cover him.
Yes, there is money there to cover him.
I think we get making, what are we paying, $7 an hour or something?
Well, he's not, you don't give him a raise.
Well, it's so we're talking 17,000, 18,000.
Oh.
And so again, that's where talking with Dave.
Yes, he calls me a beer, Oxman, no raise for beer.
Is he asking for a cola this year?
No, he'd shoot me if I did.
You know, this is off topic, but he's 83?
84, 85 this year.
84, I think. You know, he's going to be hard one to replace for that kind of money.
Yep.
That's all. Invaluable. Another one that was invaluable. I mean, we're getting a lot of good help for a pretty good price.
Yeah, yes, we are.
I'd say I feel quite fortunate to kind of almost be his
student.
Student for 13 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can make that move if he's safe.
Yes, it's not.
That saves $17,000, $18,000.
Right, which when you look at my list, that's like, well, I kind of found a way then to do city council to get a little increase.
Well, if the police officer generates a little revenue, that's $30,000, $20,000, whatever.
So right now, my deficit of about $50,000, which I'm going to work to scrub a little more, maybe you get with Shane.
Does that include the MOTS that we just talked about?
No. So if I include that, then that's down to like 30. But I've highlighted the three that are in there right now that I'm doing. And it's the COLA increase, it's affording a fifth officer, and it's affording a city council mayor raise. That's what's built into my model now. Which
so this cycle,
how do you feel about it? That's the key. You're the man, the money man, you know. You've been there long enough. And
okay, well, you've just done the three things then?
So there's those other three that are still outstanding that aren't
there. Still a little outstanding, and then, you know, like right now I'm at about 30, if I can pull that over, which I can probably scrub up, but if I plug those other three, you know, I'm back to...
Like the groundskeeper and all that?
Right.
We haven't done the Mott was talking about the Contoy Arena raise, the manager there raise.
That's on the list, but I haven't plugged that in. If I plug that
in... So it hasn't taken place yet, huh?
No.
So let me ask you this, what kind of surplus or revenues are being generated through the CDRA that are going into a fund that is...
They're staying in the CDRA.
But that's what I mean, is there surplus funds there?
Yes, because your apartments are generating about $70,000
a year. And could possibly the Contoy managers be paid through that?
Yes.
I would think that we could find the funds to fund, I think every one of the, I would hate to cut out any one of them myself. That's my thought.
I wish there was a way to recoup some of our rec funds that other cities are taking advantage of. So that's the only thing I really wish.
I believe that's something we need to work on.
Well,
I don't know how we do it.
I don't know how you're going to, you're trying to convince these other cities that they need to kick in a little bit for recreation fund.
They don't want to.
They're not going to.
Well, what they're going to say is you're getting all the tax benefits out of your stores and everything like that. That's what they're going to come back with on us there. But
somehow we have to tell them, okay, by kicking in, this is what you're going to get back for. It's got to be a win-win.
Yeah, create an incentive.
I think that's where it's essential that we get, I think that's essential that we get all the rec directors together and the city councilman over them when we start talking about some of these things.
Yeah. I think it's definitely worth pursuing and talking and having those discussions and see what can come out of it. It certainly can't hurt them at this point.
Well, I tell you, if you started putting the brakes on some of this stuff, say, okay, we're going to have our ball games over here for teams in our city.
and we're not gonna have softball for everybody else. I don't know how you do it, but like you said, get the directors together. You can put a squeeze on them.
You can, you just say, well, you're gonna have to build your own facility then.
Well, so even the Stephanie person, in my opinion, we're not getting much help from the other rec directors to help run the program, so do we fund that, or we just tell them that they've got to start stepping, coming in and helping Stephanie run the programs here in town? So that's kind of where my thoughts are with that part-time rec supervisor is, we need the other cities to help pick that part up, because those cities are paying their rec directors too. What are they really doing for their pay versus what we're paying our rec director for all that she's doing?
I really like that idea, Mayor. It's kind of, hey, it's your weekend to come and watch over the facility.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or if they have somebody that's an assistant, however they're staffed, they can determine who they want to send, but...
The thing you're gonna run into is they've got their ball diamonds. Fountain Green's got a ball diamond, Verona's got the ball diamonds. Fabio's the only one that doesn't right now really have a ball diamond where they...
But even like Junior Jazz, so I'm saying Junior Jazz for an example, or soccer. Why can't we ask those cities to come in and run two games or something like that there, rather than us running all six of them?
Yeah.
Because we got Stephanie, we got all our staffs.
I think if they realize that they could contribute that way and not necessarily cash flow, I think that it might be more open to some.
Yeah, I agree, they would.
Because...
Why not just get all those... And I don't know, you need to talk to the city council, get the rec directors here in a meeting, and then let them take back their suggestions and...
I've had one mayor come to me and suggest that we start having at least a quarterly meeting with all the rec directors, and the city councilman or the mayor come. And so after seeing this proposal here, it's like, I think that maybe that's the point we need to do on this, at least right now, is see if we could get these cities to come help. And maybe Stephanie needs a Saturday off, so one of the other cities come and run it that day for Stephanie.
Well, they could get all together and coordinate their schedule.
Right, right.
And the directors, they could do that.
Right.
They could do it through the directors.
Right.
So these other cities don't host the weekly ball games.
No,
they're all done right here. Well, softball, the baseball games they do, the Little League baseball, they do in other cities.
Do they?
But the football.
Like football.
Football, the regular football, that all takes place here. The Little League football, SCLFA, Champion Little League Football Association, that all takes place up here at the high school and our facility.
The only thing that doesn't is the Little League.
The Little League baseball. The rest of it's all on us.
Well, that's a great, I don't know why we haven't thought of that sooner. That's a great idea, to have those rec directors. We'll host the meeting.
You kind of had a good idea there, that just got me thinking.
Huh?
Justin had a good idea and got me thinking with that, your apartment rent. If that were to come into the general fund, I mean, I could afford every single one of those. And for tenants, actually, like I know today, you had someone try to skirt around our system and pay versus a credit card, so... By having that sometimes in these different funds, it is harder to manage accounting-wise and life harder for our tenants in those apartments.
Where does the apartment money go now?
It stays in the RDA.
I mean, obviously we have to have a certain percentage in there for maintenance and care of the facility, but is there a threshold there that we can skim and say, you know, put this over here to cover some of these administrative or...
Well, when like I look at the Contoy Arena, when the tax increment went away, we just moved the operations in the general fund, and it got to pay the bond.
Yeah, so let's put that back. Well, maybe it wasn't in the RDA in the first place. I don't know.
The Contoy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in the RDA until the tax increment.
And the apartments are in the RDA and all that. So let's put.
Which
I don't remember why that was done.
Departments or the
no the Contoy. Is that because we put them on full time?
Well, because that was the only way you could do the tax increments. You have to have an RDA. You have to have a redevelopment agency.
Right.
to get the tax increment.
That's right. But that's gone.
But that's gone. But the other complication, when you talk, when you start thinking about it more, is a guy like Coulter in Public Works is going sometimes to look at those apartments, and you're not accounting enough time for that period to do that stuff.
Well, you're the one managing the money. If you think that those funds could be used without compromising what you need for RDA, I would say that's a no-brainer. Because there is a considerable amount of time and money spent on the apartments, and I'm sure some of it does come out of the RDA, but I'm talking about labor way.
Not the time and the labor.
Yeah, and I think conflict people, that could definitely come out of the RDA.
Right. In fact, in some way, by moving that to the general fund, you're kind of rolling back to the way it was. It's just in a different fund now.
Well, that would not only take $14,000, but their existing wage. Right? That would take.
Well, you would supplement the recreation fund, yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. In a sense.
Yeah. There's two things that I think we could do. Get those directors over here.
Yeah. Massage those numbers and get us a budget put together.
Yep. If that works for you and that'll take care of it, then you got my blessings. As long as it can be done. And
I'll just need to check on that to make sure that.
With Mont or with somebody.
With Mont, and now we're not moving, I don't know, like I said, we get up the convoy though.
Yeah. So one thing we have on here is this, on the, going back to the capital purchases, we have the park restrooms, and there's no estimate yet on that?
Not that I've heard yet. Did you get back?
We turned in $200,000 for that, but hopefully half of the grant.
Right.
I guess if we don't get the grant, then we'll have to start back at square one and see if we want to scale back or try to figure out a way to still do it or what. It won't happen this year.
Right.
Could happen by the end of the fiscal year, though. And then the new picnic tables. And playground equipment, I think combined, they were budgeted for. I don't remember how much they were altogether. 80,000.
Picnic tables would want playground equipment.
Yeah.
Playground equipment's expensive.
We do need some picnic tables.
Well, I had, I think, in the budget about $2,000 or $3,000 a piece. I don't know how much they're going to cost. I looked at some that were concrete that would never move, but the question is the structure below them good enough to take some of that weight? But
a lot of that stuff, like when they do the breakfast for the 4th of July, all those tables are moved out and cut.
So that probably wouldn't work.
No. You know, those, you look at those picnic tables down there at that steak center. They've been there 21 years now.
Yeah, they're in great shape. They're a metal with a rubber coating on them.
Yeah. And so does those ones out the shop, but there's no comparison in that.
So we don't have to pick any table right now. I'm just saying we've got it budgeted for.
No, but we ought to be getting some.
20 new tables. And
we got the summer coming up, we ought to be getting some.
But if we get them, then obviously.
Well, there'll be plenty of other places to spend the money.
Yeah. But part of the grant is if you have it identified in that project as 20 picnic tables, they give you the grant, you have to provide 20 picnic tables. So
how does it work, like if we ask for donations to help build our park up? How does them funds work in the city? How can they donate to the to a park fund or.
Yeah, yeah.
If we was to advertise that and see if we could get the businesses to donate some cash and try to help. I mean, I know coaching up there for years, we went out and meet contractors, boy, they gave us some big money, you know, we got a lot of good money through donations to help the athletic programs, girls and boys.
Well, I think the general public could participate, it's not just about contractors and business owners, it's about, everybody goes to business owners and contractors because they think they got more money, but the bottom line is, most of them is operating on a lot bigger, a lot smaller shoestring than what a lot of the people that are working for good wages.
Well, that might be so, but I know me, I went to Glossens, and went to Georgia Phil Hanson, and went to Terry Brotherson.
I think you'd have a lot of other people maybe that can't donate money-wise, would donate time and come and help in other ways too.
Yeah.
If we get something going that way.
Yeah, I just wondered, you know.
It's just a matter of having people start a campaign. You know, it goes back to those committees with this recreation fund. I think with committees over different areas, I think that if they felt like they wanted to put together a fundraiser, they would have actually more success than what the city would. If they cemetery committee or the city park committee or the swimming pool committee, if they organized the fundraisers and whatnot and advertised them, you'd have a lot more success than if that advertisement was coming from City Hall.
Well, you look like the Friends of the Library, for an example. That's
exactly.
A prime example.
Exactly.
And what money they raise.
Yep. So I
think we need to get committees on some of these other things to do just a fundraiser type approach.
I think one thing that recreation, when he was talking about that, you know, we've never had committees for that kind of stuff. And the reality of it, there was kind of a light come on. Why don't we have committees for those things? City council shouldn't have to do it all. I mean, there's always special interest groups.
Right.
You know, and
so I have actually asked Pam if she'd be considered to be on like a parks and a cemetery committee.
Yeah.
Run it.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought. You know, again, it's exactly what you're saying. If you had somebody like that on the committee and running it and saying, hey, we want to do a work day in the cemetery this day, everybody come out and help. And I think
we're saying we're trying to buy this piece of playground equipment. We'd like to have a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Whether it's a big yard sale or whatever, people bring their surplus stuff. I mean, there's a lot of ways to generate funds.
And then they take ownership of
it. Yeah. They do. Just we'll pass that on to the committee.
So I guess one thing that I wanted to bring up was this ARPA money that's supposed to be coming down the pipe. We've talked about a couple of different projects that are being considered. I don't know if, personally, I think that we should look at, because I think there's some competing interests for that money. And so I just think that the council ought to be the kind of advisory on where that money gets spent.
I just hope we don't have another transformer going out that we automatically have to spend it.
So, and what the guidelines are, there's some things, I know there's going to be some more things coming of how that money can be spent, and I know that public safety is one of the main things that is easy to cover that. So rather than having to navigate through or are we spending it the appropriate way that we don't get audited and have to pay it all back, it may make sense just to maybe cover the public safety aspect of it and take that money and use it more as a discretionary funding on other things. Just so
that money ought to spend for maybe 4 years. That's if we do the fifth officer, that's makes it easy.
Anyway.
With the timing, that's when we bring the board to fifth guy.
And at that time, it's basically money coming out of the general fund that the city can spend it however they want.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it quite easier for me.
I don't know about that.
Well, I think there's been some good suggestions. See what you can do with them. Thanks for all you do.
Anything else you got, Dave?
I hope you are utilizing the finance director as to our most benefit. You ought to be the busiest guy on staff.
And then some.
Well, I got some good one back at you now to put this all in the log here. It'll be fun.
Yeah, some people like crunching those numbers. That's my worst nightmare. I'm thankful for my bookkeeper.
Yep. Anybody got anything else?
Well, we need to schedule on that disability. $240 an employee.
Yeah. A year?
Approximately a year to provide them with disability.
So $20 a month. What does that come back? What does that company equate to per hour?
You'd be $20 a month, so.
.0002.
It's not much.
Well, I think we're both adjourned.
We need to have another work session on that subdivision and road deals.
Which subdivision?
Well, we was having a discussion on the road widths and the.
Yeah.
I like the different classifications of roads, you know. Every area has a different zone. Not every area, but there's
depending on your density.
Density zone, agriculture, or what do you call that zone that's agriculture, residential?
RS, RA, or anything. RS. I just feel like those codes have kind of gotten antiquated. They're not distinct enough and different.
I think we could look at how we designated them, too.
I think we ought to look at our land use element in our general plan. I don't think we need to revisit the whole general plan because we just did that, but it might cut that land use element out and relooking at that, but what makes sense now for multi-use things.
So you've got a date, you want to do that?
Let's not do it next week.
Mother's Day?
Well, next week is our
next week's regular city council
next week.
Yeah, I'll have to do it in between again.
So the third Tuesday, the 18th?
So you don't want to take a break?
I'd like to get it done, and then I'd take a break.
I don't know if I'll be here that week.
Huh?
I don't know that I'll be here that week.
Your vacation don't start till June or July.
Let's see, that's the, what day did you say, the 18th?
18th, it's a Tuesday.
How many, is there graduations that night?
That, later that week, maybe.
I will be down at St. George to Water Users Conference then. That's the one you were supposed to present at last year, but you got out of it. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
did they want you to go back?
He hasn't said anything about it.
When are you going to be back? The 25th?
Now I can.
I don't know. We can keep putting it off.
I can join by phone. Or Zoom.
Well. How long before we're going to have face applications? That's another question.
2 months ago.
Well, I know we got the Johansons down there, but what other subdivisions are there right now? The Peel?
Huh? The Peel?
We're getting calls at least probably once a week.
Well, I know, but are they actual, say, okay, let's go? Because if we don't have the water, it don't matter how many calls we get.
I know.
If we don't have the water available,
we can't build it.
We can't build
it. Well, that's the worst thing we could do is say, give somebody the green light and then.
Yeah, exactly.
And then not have.
Well, but we're not talking about, I mean, we're talking about having something in place.
Yeah,
we definitely need that.
We definitely do.
In fact, I think we're behind the eight ball on where we should be with our standards and what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Right now.
I'm open to an effort.
We can move it to June. If that's better.
Well, let's.
You don't have Mother's
let's
Day.
Let's do it on the 18th. And I can just join by electronically because I.
You really don't want to go.
I don't think we should put it on.
18th works for me.
I think we got some good momentum on some things, and so
get it out of the way.
Make sure we've got them copies.
I brought them tonight, so I thought we might touch it tonight.
So May 18th,
six work to session,
eight. Six to eight.
Okay. Yeah.
Cut it off at eight. Okay, did I get a second on my adjournment?
One second, the adjournment, I got plenty of it.
All favor?
Thank you, everyone.